بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In this lesson بإذن الله we're going to go through the next ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah. In the previous lesson we recited the first five ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, beginning with Alif Lam Mim and ending with Ulaika ala hudam min rabbihim wa ulaika humul muflihun. And in the previous ayat we mentioned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about the book, the Quran, and that it is from Allah without any doubt, and it is guidance for the people of At-Taqwa. And then in the next 2 to 3 ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he described who the people of taqwa are. He said, Alladhina, those who, and then he mentioned some of the characteristics of the people of taqwa when it comes to their aqidah of believing in al-imanu bi-ilm al-ghayb, and also their righteous actions of establishing the prayer and giving in charity and so on and so forth. And then we come to the next ayat, which I'll recite first, and you recite after me, inshallah, and then we'll listen to your recitation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
إن الذين كفروا.
إن الذين كفروا.
سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم.
سواء.
أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون
أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون
ختم الله على قلوبهم
ختم الله على قلوبهم
وعلى سمعهم
وعلى سمعهم
وعلى أبصارهم غشاوة ولهم عذاب عظيم
ولهم عذاب عظيم
ومن الناس من يقول
ومن الناس من يقول
آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر
آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر
وما هم بمؤمنين يخادعون الله
يخادعون الله
والذين آمنوا
والذين آمنوا
وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم
وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم
وما يشعرون
وما
في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا
في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا
ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون
ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون
فتح الله عليكم. In these ayats, or in the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he spoke about the people of At-Taqwa. In these ayat, Allah Jalla fil Ula, he now mentions those people who are the opposite to the people of Taqwa, i.e. the people of Kufr and the people of Nifaq, the people of hypocrisy and the people of disbelief. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as he described and gave us the characteristics of the people of Taqwa and the people of Iman, then in these ayat, he describes and gives us the characteristics of the people of Kufr and the people of An-Nifaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins this passage of the Qur'an addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Verily, those people who disbelieve, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ Regardless of whether you warn them or you do not warn them, لا يؤمنون. They will not have al-Iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا The people of kufr, those people
who have been described with kufr, and it has become a description for them. This is their characteristic. Those people, it is the same whether you warn them or you do not warn them. And the meaning of kufr is the opposite of al-iman. Or you could say the opposite of al-islam. The opposite of Islam or iman is kufr. And the author, rahimullah, he says, وَحَقِيقَةُ الْكُفَرِ, that the reality of kufr is الْجُحُودُ لِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ أو جَحْدُ بَعْضِهِ, is to stubbornly reject what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with, or to stubbornly reject some of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. So a person who completely rejects all of the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning everything he came with, or somebody who rejects a small part of it, is the same. It doesn't matter. Like when Allah described the people of disbelief, He said they believe in some of the book and they disbelieve in some of the book. So if, for example, there is a person and he says, I believe in everything which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, and all of it is the truth, but I don't believe in the Dajjal. I know he said it, but I don't believe that this is the correct. Then this person has disbelieved in Islam. Of course, we're not talking about a person who, for example, in his mind thinks that the hadith regarding the Dajjal are weak, for example. This person, although he's wrong, but his excuse is that he doesn't think the hadith regarding the Dajjal are authentically attributed to the Prophet. But if somebody knows, yes, these hadith are in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, and then he rejects it, he accepts that this is what the Prophet said, but then he said, but logically I don't accept this, then he has disbelieved. And this is the reality of al-kufr, stubbornly rejecting what the Prophet came with or some of what he came with. And Allah Jalla fil Ula, He tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that these people, the kuffar, who you have been giving da'wah to and you have been warning them and they are not accepting it, these types of people, your da'wah to them is of no benefit. And whether you warn them or you do not warn them, they are not going to accept that which you are saying. So the da'wah to them has no benefit upon them, except that the evidence has been established against them. That's the benefit for them. So we have to give da'wah to the people. And this da'wah that we give to the people has two benefits. Either it's going to be as an avenue of guidance for them and they're going to be guided and come to Islam. Or if they're not going to do this and they're going to reject the da'wah, then at the least the hujjah has been established upon them. The evidence has been established upon them. And in some of the narrations, it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would give da'wah to the people and they would not accept his da'wah, then he used to become worried and anxious about it and very sad. He wanted every single individual to accept the da'wah. And some of the companions, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, they mention, as Ibn Kathir mentions in his tafsir, that whoever the Prophet would approach and give da'wah to, if that person didn't accept the da'wah, then it would sadden the Prophet and he would worry and he would have sleepless nights that people are not accepting his da'wah, his warning. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, He wanted to comfort the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to show him that the only thing which is upon you is to give the balagh. The only thing which is upon you is to give the message. As for whether they accept or they don't accept, then that is not your anxiety. That is not for you to worry about. And the same with every single one of us. That every single one of us, and all of us are du'at ilallah. All of us are callers to al-Islam. Our message is only to convey the message, convey the religion. Whether people accept or not accept, then that isn't something which should worry us too much. But of course we have the concern for humanity like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. We want every single person to accept al-Islam, but at the end of the day, al-hidayah biyadillah. At the end of the day, the guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, after this, Allah explained the reason which stops and prevents the kuffar from accepting the message. He said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَنْ تُظْهِرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They will not believe. They will not have iman. Why will they not have iman? Because خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ. Because Allah has made a seal over their hearts and also made a seal over their hearing. وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ. And also in their sight there is a غِشَاوَة. And the meaning of غِشَاوَة is غِطَاء وَأَكِنَّة, i.e. a covering or a curtain or a barrier between their hearts and their seeing and the hearing and from the between that and the truth. Meaning that these people whom we are giving da'wah to, the paths of knowledge and the paths of goodness, they have been prevented from traversing those paths. And this is because they disbelieved after the truth had been made clear to them. Truth had been made clear to them, they disbelieved, and because of their disbelief, then Allah puts a closure on their hearts and on the hearing and on the sight. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. That we will turn away their hearts and turn away their sight due to them not believing in the first place. So because of them not believing and not having iman and rejecting the truth, then Allah allows them to carry on in their misguidance and in their deviation. وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. And we will leave them to blindly wander in their misguidance. And why was this? Because they themselves rejected the truth. And this is something, and this is a punishment for them. So the people of kufr, remaining upon kufr, that in itself is an adab for them. But this is the adab of the dunya. And then Allah mentions for them that upon them is also the adab of the akhirah. Then he said, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And also in the hereafter, they will have a more severe punishment. So the people of kufr and the people of nifaq, they have two punishments upon them. They have the punishment of this dunya, and that is Allah sealing their hearts and them carrying on in their kufr and their nifaq. This is a punishment in of itself. And then the second punishment, which is more severe and it is eternal, is the punishment of the hereafter. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ أَيْ عَذَابَ النَّارِ, i.e. the punishment of the fire. Then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes for us the descriptions of the munafiqun. And the munafiqun are ahlun nifaq, the people of an-nifaq. The meaning of nifaq, or when nifaq is translated into English, it's often translated as being hypocrisy. And that isn't the complete understanding of the word which is intended in the Quran. Rather, the meaning of an-nifaq is idharul Islam wa ibtanul kufr. Or idharul khair wa ibtan ash-shar, is showing Islam outwardly, but inside a person hiding kufr and disbelief. May Allah protect us. Or a person showing goodness on the outside, but inside him he's hiding the evil. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes them. He says in the next ayah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That from amongst some of the people, I the munafiqun, they will say amanna billah. With their tongues, they will say we have iman in Allah. And upon their tongues, they will say we have iman bil yawmil akhir. Wa ma hum bi mu'minin. However, they do not have iman. So this is the meaning of an-nifaq. A person hiding disbelief inside him and outwardly showing al-Islam. And for this reason, it isn't allowed for anybody to describe another person with being a munafiq, because you don't know what's in their hearts. And upon us is only that which is apparent. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he is al-Faruq, he used to say, إِنَّمَا عَلَيْنَا بِالظَّوَاهِرِ. That the only thing which is upon us is what is apparent. وَأَمَّا السَّرَائِرِ فَإِلَى اللَّهِ. And as for the secrets of the heart, then it goes back to Allah. And when Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, when he killed that man, when he had defeated him in the battle and he had raised his sword, and the man said La ilaha illallah, the quicker the man said La ilaha illallah, why? Because he didn't want to be killed. Usama ibn Zayd, he still ended up killing him. And when Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and told him about the killing, that he had just killed this man, the Prophet said, why did you kill him? Did you not hear him say La ilaha illallah? And Usama ibn Zayd said that the only reason he said La ilaha illallah was just to save himself from my sword. That's the only reason why he said it. And the Prophet gave us a principle. He said, وَهَلْ شَقَقْتَ صَدْرَهُ. Did you open up his heart? So as long as a person says La ilaha illallah, then we are not allowed to judge that person with anything in his heart. We can't say, oh, he said that, you know, for an ulterior motive, or because he was hiding something in his heart. This is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also goes back to an issue which is quite common. We don't want to digress too much. When it comes to the meat of the Muslims, when it comes to praying behind the Muslims, when it comes to the masajid of the Muslims, that if we know from that which is apparent, somebody says La ilaha illallah, somebody has a Muslim name, then we pray behind him, we eat his meat, and it's not allowed for us to test this person. We shouldn't even ask him, is your meat halal or not? Hasn't he said La ilaha illallah? Does this person not have a Muslim name? Is he not Muslim? Does he not pray with you in the masajid, such that you should question whether his meat is halal or haram? But if with certainty we know that, for example, he's selling haram meat, then we stay away. But only if with yaqeen we know. We don't need to question him. So for example, we have a Muslim here and he has a Muslim name. We know he says La ilaha illallah, he prays with us in the masjid. His meat is halal for us. But then if we saw him, for example, making dua to a wali, prostrating to a grave, then we do not eat his meat. Why? Because now this is shirk and this is al-kufr. But we don't test and we don't have suspicions regarding this Muslim. Also, if somebody, for example, makes a tawbah, then we don't say, oh, this is a political tawbah, or this is a dishonest tawbah. If he has made tawbah, innama alayna bil-dhawahir. We can only take that which is apparent. And these munafiqun, which have this nifaq, Shaykh Sa'di, he mentions that a nifaq, it is two types. So we know the meaning of nifaq, hiding kufr, showing Islam. But nifaq is two types. An-nifaq al-akbar and an-nifaq al-asghar. Major nifaq and minor nifaq. The major nifaq is an-nifaq al-i'tiqadi. And the minor nifaq is an-nifaq al-amali. An-nifaq al-i'tiqadi is the major nifaq of the heart in which a person believes kufr, i'tiqad. He believes kufr and he shows iman and al-islam. And as for nifaqun amali, this is the hypocrisy of actions, and this is the minor form of nifaq. And this does not take a person out of the fold of Islam. So a nifaq al-i'tiqadi takes a person out of the fold of Islam, like the munafiqun at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As for a nifaq al-amali, nifaq in actions, then this does not take a person out of the fold of Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told us some of the actions which are considered as being nifaq. He said, Ayatul Munafiq Thalath. He said the indicators or the signs of a munafiq are three. If he speaks kadhib, if he speaks, he lies. Wa idha wa'ada akhlaf. And when he makes a promise, he breaks the promise. Wa idha tumina khan. And when he is given a trust, then he is treacherous to that trust. And in a narration, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ, that when he debates or argues, then he exceeds the limits. If we find a person, for example, who spoke but he told a lie, or somebody who's making you a promise and then he doesn't complete that promise, we do not call him a munafiq. Because when you say about somebody munafiq like this in an absolute sense, then this is nifaqul akbar. You have called him a kafir. These actions, first of all, they are nifaq al-asghar, they are minor nifaq, and it is only nifaq amali. It is only the nifaq of the actions and not the nifaq of the heart. So it's possible for a Muslim, for a mu'min, that despite his iman, maybe he told a lie. Despite his iman, maybe he broke his promise, or when he was arguing, you know, he exceeded the limits. And this doesn't make a person a nifaq. But this is an indicator that this action is an action of hypocrisy. because it contains either lying or breaking a person's word or breaking a person's promise. So pay attention to that matter. Also, the author, he mentions that nifaq, ay nifaq i'tiqadi, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it did not exist in Makkah, ay before Hijrah. And neither did it exist after Hijrah. In fact, an-nifaq, or the munafiqun, they only arose or emerged after the Battle of Badr. And the reason why they arose after the Battle of Badr, because then the Muslims had a level of honor and a level of authority. Now the Muslims were in ascendancy because they had just beaten the Quraysh. And now the Quraysh were the ones, and the Kufar were the ones who were being defeated. The reason why a person has nifaq i'tiqadi, is if he sees the Muslims in authority, in ascendancy, and therefore he wants to be a part of them. But the only reason he wants to be a part of them is not because he believes in what they believe, is because, for example, he wants to also get some of the war booty, or he wants to protect some of his lands, or he doesn't want to be known as being a kafir or a disbeliever. So for this reason, he might say, "Amantu billahi wal yawmil akhir," but in reality, "wama hum bimu'minin." In his heart, he isn't a believer at all. And from this, the ulama mention that nifaq, it doesn't occur when Islam is weak. Nifaq only occurs when Islam becomes strong. Because when the Muslims are weak, and the Muslims are in the minority, and when we don't have anything, and when kufr is being victorious, then why would a person need to hide kufr and show Islam? He's only going to weaken himself. But when Muslims have the upper hand, then people start hiding the kufr in order to have some of the dunya which the Muslims have. And that's why the author said, فَأَظْهَرَ الْإِسْلَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ خَوْفًا وَمُخَادَعَةً, that some of them, they used to show the Islam out of fear, because they thought that if we get found out that we're kuffar, then maybe we are going to be punished, or our wealth, our property is not going to be protected. And from the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Muslims at that time, is Allah told the Muslims the characteristics of the people of nifaq, so that the Muslims are not deceived by them. And the munafiqun at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite their treachery and deception, despite their nifaq, they were always scared, because they used to fear that maybe an ayah will come in the Quran where Allah totally exposes us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never did that. Rather, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to do is reveal ayat which show the believers the characteristics of the munafiqeen, in terms of their doubt in Islam, and in terms of them being lazy in their prayer, and so on and so forth. But he never named the munafiqeen. And Allah says in the Quran, يَحْذَرُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ أَن تُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُورَةً تُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, that the munafiqun, at the time of the Prophet, they were always scared that maybe a surah would be revealed and the secrets of their hearts would be exposed. So these people, they would say with their tongues that which is not in their hearts, and therefore Allah said, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, that these are not the people of Iman. And this is because true Iman is not merely something which is upon the tongue, but true Iman is when the heart and the tongue and the limbs, all of them agree on a person's Iman. So Iman isn't just a person saying, I'm a Muslim. Rather, he believes in his heart with absolute yaqeen, with absolute certainty. He says it upon his tongue, and then he does the actions which fulfill a person's Iman. And those people, the munafiqun, Allah tells us why they used to profess Iman even though they were kuffar. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ, they used to try to deceive Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and they used to try to deceive the people of Iman. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ, however, in reality, they are only deceiving themselves. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ, but from their wretchednesses, they don't even realize. So they're trying to deceive Allah and His Messenger and the believers, but in reality, they're only deceiving themselves and misguiding themselves But even worse than this, they don't even realize. They don't realize they are only deceiving themselves. And this was from the amazing affairs which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would decree. Normally, when you have a person who's deceiving another person, there's two possible outcomes. Either his deception is going to work, so the person's going to be fooled and deceived by him, and he's going to believe his lie. Or at the least, maybe he won't be deceived completely, but at least a person, because of his deception, he protects his own interest. As for the people of Nifaq at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, their treachery and their Nifaq and their hypocrisy and their deception used to be exposed. And for this reason Allah mentioned, they try to deceive Allah and they try to deceive the people of Iman, but they are only deceiving themselves. And then from their foolishness is that وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and that they do not even realize that they are deceiving themselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also mentions the disease or the sickness which is affecting those people. And this marad, this sickness, isn't the disease and the sickness of the body. Rather, it is something which is much worse. It is the marad, the sickness of the heart. Allah says, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ marad. That those people of kufr, whether you warn them or you don't warn them, and also the people of nifaq, in their hearts, they have the disease, they have a disease. And what is this disease? It is maradu shakki wa shubahati wa nifaq. It is the disease of doubts, I doubting iman, wa shubahat, and being having doubts in their hearts and their minds, and also the disease of hypocrisy. And as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this world, He has sent diseases and illnesses which touch a person's body. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٍ إِلَّا الْمَوْتِ, that for every disease, there is a cure except death. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed diseases and He revealed the cures. And these diseases which Allah has revealed are two types. The diseases of the body, the physical diseases, and also the diseases of the heart. And Allah revealed the cures for the diseases of the body. He also revealed cures for the diseases of the heart. And no doubt, the diseases of the heart are the most severe. Why? Because when a person is physically ill, you can see that you are ill. If you are injured, if you've cut yourself, you can see and you can feel that pain. But when a person's heart is diseased, may Allah protect us, then a person doesn't realize that he is ill and diseased, and yet he thinks that he is healthy and he is well. The diseases, which are the two most dangerous diseases which a person can be afflicted with, is مرض الشبهات ومرض الشهوات. The diseases of doubts and the disease of desires. الشبهات are doubts and الشهوات are desires. Ash-shubahat are doubt, for example, the people of shirk mentioning evidences and they bring these doubts to the people of At-Tawheed. Also, Ahlul Bid'ah, the people of innovation, mentioning doubts, and look how many people are misguided because of these doubts. And why is... And then the second disease is Maradu Shahawat, the disease of desires, meaning sins and disobedience, adultery, alcohol, smoking, so on and so forth. And from these two, the shubahat and the shahawat, the disease of the doubts and the disease of the desires, which one is more dangerous? Which one do you think is more dangerous? Doubts. The doubts is more dangerous than the desires?
No, desires.
Desires is more dangerous. Anybody else?
Less
doubt. Desires are more dangerous. You say doubts. Doubt. Meaning, a person, for example, doing acts of innovations, having doubts in his mind, is more severe than a person making zina, drinking alcohol, and so on and so forth. More severe. Two reasons. Firstly, the Salaf would say that those people who have been afflicted with the desires, for them is a tawbah. As for the person who is afflicted with the shubha, with the doubt, there's no tawbah for him. Why? Because any Muslim who, for example, may Allah protect us, falls into adultery, he knows he has done wrong. Even the most sinful of Muslims who, for example, drinks alcohol, every time he drinks alcohol, he knows he is doing wrong. And for this reason, somewhere down the line, bi-idhnillah, he will make tawbah to Allah Jalla fil-ula. Because why? He knows that he is doing wrong. He knows it is a sin. As for a person who has a doubt and he's doing innovations, for example, he's worshipping Allah through those innovations. He actually thinks he's doing right. So how is he going to make a tawbah? Because he's so blinded that he thinks that this disease of doubt, he thinks this is guidance. And this is loving the Prophet. And this is tawheed. His actions of shirk, he thinks that it is a tawheed. And for this reason, some of the Salaf, they would say that the shubahat are more beloved to Iblis than the shahawat. Because the shahawat, Iblis knows that even though I am fooled him and deceived him now, but somewhere down the line he's going to make tawbah. As for the person who shaitan has deceived with the shubahat, with the doubts of shirk, and the doubts of misguidance, and the doubts of innovation, then that person will not make tawbah. Why? Because he thinks that he's doing goodness. Until a scholar or a da'i comes to that person and clarifies the doubts from his mind. So these are the two doubts which afflicts a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding those people, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, that in their hearts is a disease, and so Allah increases them in that illness. Allah increases them in that disease. And this is, as I have mentioned, that sometimes, or because of a person doing kufr, or because of a person falling into a sin, then Allah punishes that person with more sinning. Like Allah said, fi qulubihim marad, that in their heart there is already an illness, i.e. the illness of disobedience and misguidance. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, so Allah increases them in that illness. And this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran. He says, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, that when they deviated, then Allah caused them to deviate even further. So when a person sins, sometimes the punishment of that sin in this dunya is that Allah allows him to sin more and more and more. When a person does a righteous deed, then Allah will reward that person in this dunya. As well as the reward of the akhirah, Allah rewards the person in the dunya by allowing him to do more good deeds, by allowing him to carry on in doing good deeds. And the author, he mentions a number of ayat. For example, Allah said, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, that when they deviated themselves, then Allah deviated their hearts. Allah says in the Quran, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجْسًا إِلَى رِجْسِهِمْ, that those people who have the sickness in their heart, i.e. the sickness of sins and disobedience, this illness, it compounds the disease which is upon them. So, عُقُوبَةُ الْمَعْصِيَةِ مَعْصِيَةٌ أُخْرَى, so sometimes the punishment of a sin is a person doing another sin. And the Salaf, they used to say, مَعْصِيَةٌ تُوَلِّدُ مَعْصِيَةٌ, that one sin gives birth to another sin. And that second sin is a punishment for the first sin that the person did. وَبِدْعَةٌ تُوَلِّدُ بِدْعَةٌ, and also a bid'ah gives birth to another bid'ah. So when a person does an innovation, the punishment of that innovation, this dunya, that he remains upon his misguidance and he keeps innovating, and also the opposite is true. كَمَا أَنَّ مِن ثَوَابِ الْحَسَنَةِ الْحَسَنَةُ بَعْدَهَا, just as if a person does a good deed, then the reward of this good deed is Allah gives that person tawfiq to keep doing more good deeds and more good deeds. Allah said, وَيُزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى, that Allah increases those people who accept guidance with more guidance. The more guidance, when you accept the guidance, Allah gives a person more guidance. And for this reason, the Salaf, when something wrong would happen in their lives, even in dunya, they would also look back at their sins. They would always look back at their sins. So if, for example, one of them had a problem at home, for example, with his children or his wife, they wouldn't blame the children and their wife. They would start thinking, contemplating, I think, which sin have I done that now Allah is punishing me through something, dispute with my children or my wife? In fact, Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, Inni la'a'lamu dhanbi fi khuluq zawjati. He said, verily, I know my sin because of a dispute with my wife. Because there's a dispute with his wife, they used to think that this was a punishment because of their sin. They didn't always used to blame their wives. And also Ibn Sirin, rahimullah, Muhammad Ibn Sirin, he said, Inni la'a'lamu dhanba alladhi hurrimtu bihi qiyam al-layl arba'at ashhur. He said that verily, I know the sin due to which I wasn't able to make qiyam al-layl for 4 months. He said, قُلْتُ لِرَجُلٍ ذَاتَ يَوْمْ يَا مُفْلِسِ. That one day, I mocked a man by saying to him, O bankrupt one. So because of this sin, in which the Imam, out of humbleness, he mentions that when I gave this person nickname, Allah punished me by not allowing me to do good deeds. So as I mentioned, sometimes the punishment of a sin is Allah allowing the person to keep sinning and keep sinning. And the punishment of an innovation is Allah allows a person to keep being misguided and doing more innovations. And sometimes the punishment of a sin is that you are blocked from doing a good deed. And some of them used to say, Nasitul Quran bi dhanbin amaltuhu mundu 40 sana. Some of them used to say that I'd memorized the Quran, I forgot the Quran because of a sin I did 40 years ago. Because of that sin, now Allah is preventing me from preserving and memorizing the Quran. And the Salaf used to advise each other, and they would say, Satara athara hadha dham walau ba'da 40. That this sin that you are doing now, you will see the effect of this sin, even if it's after 40 days or 40 years or 40 weeks, you will see the effect of this sin. And for this reason, if you look at the state of the Muslim Ummah, we see the state that it's in. It's because of our sinning, our weakness of iman, and us not fulfilling Islam properly. Allah said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Then whatever affliction, whatever calamity you are being afflicted with, it is because of what your own hands are earning. And for this reason, the manhaj or the methodology of a Muslim isn't to blame the enemy. So don't worry about this country and that country and these kings and these rulers. No, we have to look at ourselves. And if we rectify ourselves and our homes, then bi-idhnillah, the ummah is rectified. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, he said, fi qulubihim marad, that in their hearts is a disease, i.e. the disease of doubt and nifaq, fazadahumullahu marada. So Allah has increased them in their disease. Meaning after the truth has been made clear to them and the guidance has come to them, they themselves have chosen to stay away from it. When they chose to stay away from this guidance after it had been made clear to them, then Allah increases them in their misguidance. So the meaning of this ayah isn't that it's as if Allah loves for them misguidance. No. Rather, Allah wants people to believe. But if people choose to disbelieve after guidance has been showed to them, then as a punishment, Allah will allow them to continue upon their misguidance. And this is the punishment of this dunya. And then Allah says, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. And in the hereafter, they will have an even severe punishment, and that is عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. The severe, painful punishment because of the disbelief and the lies which they used to tell. And we'll suffice with that, inshallah, for this lesson. And in the next week, bi-idhnillah, we'll carry on with the next ayat. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.